And preach what God's laid on your heart. Lord bless you tonight.
Well, this is not a Palm Sunday message, I don't guess. But in a couple weeks, I got saved on Palm Sunday. I'm fixed to be 12 years old in a couple weeks. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 21. We're going to talk a little bit before his triumphal entry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray you bless this time, give any word you want me to speak, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have been, every time I open up the Bible this week in the morning, this is where it's at. And I said, okay. And so I started trying to put this together the other day. In verse 34 it says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Now he's telling the disciples about the time that he's going to come back and set up his kingdom. And they want to know all about it. But he says, "Take heed to yourselves, that lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares." I want to tell you something that's pretty hard for us not to do. Because the cares of this life take over. And we tend to find more time about the cares of this life than we do about what Jesus wants us to do. Surfeiting says to indulge one's appetite excessively. No believer is beyond a temptation to fall into sin. Jesus warns against slackness and daily readiness in the Christian walk. So we can get complacent and not be doing what God wants us to do. In the days of Noah, you know, Noah was out telling everybody that they needed to repent. They needed to change the way they was living. And they didn't take heed because they was out doing what they wanted to do. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they was going out and doing what they wanted to do. That's exactly what Satan wanted to do what he wanted to do. And before you get saved, that's exactly how you were. I was the god of my life. And that's why I was addicted to so many things, because I was trying to fill the void that only Jesus Christ can fill. I was trying to get my pleasure from pleasant things of this, so-called pleasant things of this world. And the only way you can fill that void is through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and fills that void. But they didn't heed the warnings. They were too busy living their own lives. And as you look around this world right now, and as me and Pastor was out knocking on doors the other day, there was too many people that didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And you know what? That was his way that he came into the birth. You know, there was no room for him in the inn. He was born in the barn. There's no room for Jesus anymore either in people's lives. The sad thing about it is, there's really a lot of room for Jesus in our lives as we're saved. Let's go to Mark 1, please. We're going to hold your spot there, because we're going to come back there in a couple hours. Now, Jesus has started his ministry. He's made a couple of demons come out of some people, and everybody's talking about it. And this is back before they had cable and DirecTV. Fox News wasn't around, but everybody was running around telling everybody that, "Hey, you got to come see this guy. He made demons come out of these people, and he's healed some people, and you need to come see him." So his fame went out, and everybody was coming to see him. He went to Simon Peter's house, and he healed his mother-in-law. I mean, this guy is doing things that they've never seen before. And it says in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And he was there alone talking to God, seeing what God wanted him to do. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I've ever preached a message and everybody in town started coming and they wanted to hear me, man, that'd be the great thing in the world. That'd be what all of us want, right? And I would never leave. You would stay there until they ran you out of town. They quit coming. Because, man, look, I'm doing this great thing for God. All these people are coming to see me. The problem is that God knew and Jesus knew that they wasn't coming to see him to get saved. They was coming because they wanted to see the sideshow. They wanted all these demons to come out of people. They wanted to get healed and go back to what they was doing. They wasn't coming for the right reason. So, in verse 36 it says, Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Everybody in town is looking for you. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And so he left. Well, that'd be a hard thing to do. In our flesh, we would love to stay there. But God told him to go somewhere else. I imagine even Simon's going, hey, you got to come in here. Everybody's looking for you. You got to come over here and talk to them some more. And he said, no, we got to leave. You see, Jesus was wanting to know what God wanted him to do. Therefore, he went out alone and prayed. He was looking for daily instructions. If we're concerned about the cares of this life, we look at the things the natural way. Even as Christians, we look at the natural things. I can't do this. I got to go work. I got to do this. I got to go over here and do this. I've got to get this done. And we're not looking at the supernatural. Then the cares of eternal life, that's the supernatural. Are we looking at people like we really need to help them? Are we looking at people like I wish they'd get out of my way so I could get to where I'm going fast enough? Because that's mostly how we look at things. Go to Mark 9. Verse 14 says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And at the end of this, he talks about, in verse 28, he says, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Because Jesus cast him out. And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, Jesus was ready for the task that he had to do. And he got ready for that task by getting on his knees every morning and praying. Not only was he praying, but he was fasting. You know, he was at the well, and the woman come up there, and he was talking to her, and the disciples went into town to get something to eat, and they came back and says, here, we got you some food. And he said, I don't need it. I got meat that y'all don't know about. You see, he was doing what God wanted him to do, and God was feeding him. In fact, in the wilderness, when he fasted for 40 days and finally told Satan to get out of there by telling him the truth, the Word of God, it says the angels came down and ministered to him. They were taking care of him. God was taking care of him. But he was preparing for the task at hand. And that's what we're supposed to be doing every day. We're supposed to prepare for the task at hand. I want to tell y'all something. I used to get up at 4:30 every morning. And I used to read a lot. I used to pray. And then I would go out and I'd do devos in the hallway when everybody else got up. It's hard for me to get out of bed sometimes now. I'm going to let y'all know right now, it's hard for me to get out of bed sometimes. It acts like I've never slept sometimes. You know what? I need to get up every morning. It doesn't say what time to get up. It just says early in the morning. Some people's early in the morning is 10 o'clock. As we found out knocking on doors the other day. But why can't we get up in the morning and talk to God? Why can't we understand that, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? So Jesus was preparing for the task. He knew that this task was coming up. So he prayed and fasted before the man took his son to him. He was ready for that. How are we like that? You know, I knew that me and Pastor was going to go knock on door. I thought he was going to Geneva, really. But we went to Pinyan. But you know, I put some prayer into it that morning. But during the week, I didn't put a lot of prayer into it. I went to this door, and this man showed up, and I couldn't see. The sun was shining. I couldn't see in. The screen door was shut. I knew the dog was barking, and I was talking to him. And he reached down and picked up a dog, and he had no fingers on his hands, both of them. I don't know if it was burnt off. I don't know how, but there was no fingers on his hands. And I'm talking to him. And I'm trying, this is the Holy Spirit, but I was trying to get him to understand that there was Jesus loved him and everything. I was making not a real good test. I wasn't saying a lot of things I was supposed to be saying, let's put it that way. I can't even say it now. But I opened the door and put that track in his hand, hoping that he would read those words. Because see, when my cousin gave me the Bible, he didn't do anything but says, here, I got this for you. I want you to have it. And say, one day I picked it up and read it. There was somebody in that complex that the pastor talked to, a lady. And she said, up there on the hill, the cops coming up there all the time. There's somebody up there mean. And sure enough, I knocked on the door. but he wouldn't take the track. Maybe if I'd have said something a little bit different, maybe he would have. I don't know, but see, I wasn't prepared for the task. I wasn't praying and fasting before I went up there. And I think if Jesus would have went up there, he'd been praying and fasting. See, he would have been prayed. He would have spent a lot of time in prayer during the week saying, Father, you know I'm fixed to go up here. I want to know what you want me to say. I want you to tell me which door to knock on. I want you to use me. But you know, we get busy and we don't do what we're supposed to do. Look at Mark 14. In verse 26. It starts off, I'm not going to read this, we're going to read in 32, but in 26 through 31, Jesus says to them, all to his disciples, y'all's going to be offended at me tonight, all of you. And Peter jumps up and says, not me. I don't care if we go to jail, I don't care if we die, I'm going to be right there by your side. And he said, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And in verse 32, it says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, began to be sore amazed, to be very heavy. And he saith to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He's saying, Peter, you can't watch 1 hour. You're going to be with me till they come and get me. You're going to be with me when I die. You're going to die with me. You're going to go to jail with me. You're going to be with me the whole time. But you can't even watch and pray with me 1 hour. Go back to Luke 22, 21, excuse me. Luke 21, verse 34, we're going to go to 38. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of this whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount, that is called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. How often do we get up every morning and the cares of this world are on our mind? That we might have got up late, we can't pray, we can't read like we're supposed to do, and we have to go out and do the things that we're supposed to do as the cares of this world, but we can't find time to say, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Jesus, I need you. I need your power today. I need your favor. I need your wisdom. I need everything about you. I don't know why, but I've found YouTube this past week. And if you go on a couple of gospel, if I clicked on a gospel song, and then all of a sudden all these other gospel songs click in, and I clicked on this one, I can't even walk without you holding my hand, and I've been listening to that all week long, and you know what? We can't walk without him holding our hand. We can't breathe without him saying you can breathe. You see, he holds our life in his hands. And, you know, when you're not saved, you don't even think about like, you don't even think like that. You don't even think that, you know, there is a God. So God's not keeping me alive. I'm just going to live until I die. But as Christians, we understand that God holds the key to our life. He could go like that and we're gone. He could also tell us where we need to go and tell us what we need to do. You see, it says watch and pray. He tells Peter to watch and pray. He also tells him, Peter, you're going to deny me before the night's over. He also tells Simon Peter that Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But I pray that your faith fail not. You know what? Satan wants to get at each and every one of us. Turn to 1 Peter 5, please. And starting in verse 5. And this is Peter speaking. Okay? This is the guy that has preached the message and 3,000 came to him the first time he preached after he received the Holy Spirit. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I want to tell you something. Peter was a pretty proud person. But at this end of his life, he's going, you know what? God resists the proud. Y'all need to humble yourselves. You see, Peter had been humbled. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what vigilant means? I wrote it down. I wish I know what it means. Come on, don't tell me I didn't write that down. I got it on my other thing. Oh well. You know what vigilant means? It means to be awake. It means to watch. It means to watch out for danger. Always be aware of this, that the devil wants to sift you like wheat. And if you get too proud, God's not going to help you. We was talking in the Sunday school about this a little bit this morning. You know, when our parents tell us something to do, we think when we're teenagers that hey, you know what? I know better. I can run my life. They just don't want me to have fun. Or when they figure out that they know one thing a little bit smarter than you, then you're stupid. And you can't tell me anything because I know what's best for my life now. And we're all that way as teenagers. But we're all that way sometimes with God, even when we're grown. You see, we're all kids to God. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Peter could say this because he lived it. He had said, I'm proud. I know what I'm doing, God. Jesus, don't worry about it. I'm with you. In fact, if you need me, I'll do something. Don't worry about it. If they come after you, I'll save you. And when they came after Jesus, even Peter grabbed a sword and tried to, this is how bad he was. He tried to cut somebody's head off, and he only cut their ear off. It says, after you've suffered a while. You know, when we don't do what God wants us to do, we suffer. You know, He chastens us. And Peter's saying, after you suffer a while, He'll make you perfect. He'll strengthen you. And He'll settle you. You see, after you go through a lot of things like Peter did in his life, you get to understand that God's got it. I don't. I don't know what's going to happen down the road. You know, the lights went out one time at Freedom Village, but they did a lot when I first got there. The wind would blow and the lights would go off. And, you know, God's our light. And you're walking down a dark hall and you don't know what's on the other side of the door. But Jesus does. And if He tells us not to open that door, that means there's something there that's going to hurt us. And just because Jesus tells us no, doesn't mean He doesn't love us. And sometimes no is wait. I always put it like this. King David was anointed king of Israel when he was a teenager. He became a king of Israel when he was 30 years old. God's not going to give somebody... I'm fixed to be 12 years old. Did I tell you all that? God ain't going to give the keys to a 12-year-old... keys to a Corvette to a 12-year-old. You know? He's not. Number one, a 12-year-old probably ain't going to reach the pedals. And number two, that 12-year-old ain't going to know how to drive a Corvette. So sometimes when God tells us to wait, we think it's a no. And we get mad at Him. But God knows what's best in our life. And God knows what's around the corner. And when God tells you that you're going to deny me three times, guess what? You're going to deny Him three times. Look at the end of Peter's life. Jesus tells him, hey Peter, when you was young, you got up and you clothed yourself and you walked where you want to go walk. But when you're old, they're going to bind you. And they're going to take you where you don't want to go. Now, I don't know about y'all. I want to die in my sleep. But Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die. And then he tells him to follow him. And then he goes, well, what about John? It don't matter what anybody else does, Peter. I want you to follow me. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. You need to do what God wants you to do. And the only way you're going to find that is you get up early in the morning and you watch and you pray. I wish I'd have wrote down that. I did on the other sheet. It says in verse 38 of Luke 21, it says, all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple. It says, came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. My Bible says that this is the temple of God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. This is the temple. And God speaks in the temple. And if we get up every morning, if that early is 10, early is 10 sometimes. But if you get up early in the morning and spend your time with God before you do anything else, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, God knew I was going to meet that guy with no hands. Now, did I say the right things? I don't know. Did I do the right things? I don't know. But what if I'd have been in prayer for a couple of days, and maybe that situation would have been a little different? I don't know. I don't know how many times I went and knocked on doors and the next day or just 2 hours later, I'm kicking myself in the tail because I didn't say nothing or I did something wrong. And you do that every time you go out. Wouldn't it be great if I would get up every morning and I'd pray and I'd fast before I go and I'd really seek God's direction in my life, then I would go and I wouldn't suffer all these things. You see, Jesus was telling Peter, watch and pray. Watch and pray. There's something coming here that y'all don't understand. You see, everybody saw him coming in at Palm Sunday as the king, and everybody was happy. But Jesus didn't see that. Jesus saw the cross. He knew that these people that was going, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, high in the highest. Those people that were saying that were fixed to say, crucifying, crucifying. You see, he knew that. That's why he was in the garden praying. That's why he was asking God, hey, I know that this is what you want me to do, but let's do it different. Nevertheless, thy will. You know what? Sometimes, you know what I wished I'd have done when I was a teenager? I wished I'd have done my parents' will. I wished I'd have done God's will also. You see, I caused a lot of pain and I caused a lot of hurt because of my disobedience. And we all do. As a Christian, as a grown Christian, as a mature Christian, we can still cause that hurt and pain when we don't do what Daddy tells us to do. You see, Jesus came that he may save people. That he may save all. And he came to save Jerusalem. Came to save the Jews. Came to save Israel. But they didn't have anything to do with him. And in Luke 13:31, it says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying to him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said to them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do curse, and I do cure today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfect. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, as your house has left you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He's talking about his triumphal entry. But he's telling them, I wish you understood why I'm really here. I really wish you understood the day that you're at. You see, I've come to save you, not to destroy you. I've come that you might have life and you have it, may have it more abundantly. But you want to follow the thief and the robber. You see, I'm of the truth. I'm telling you truth and you're speaking lies. Because your father is a lie. He's the King. He's the Father of lies. How many times that we suffer pain or hurt in our lives because we're just not listening to what God wants us to do? There was a story, I thought about looking it up and I didn't. There was a story about this Christian man. He was very, very wealthy. I'm going by memory, so you're going to have to bear with me. But God told him to sell all his plants and stuff. You see, he owned a bunch of sugar cane. And God told him to quit, to sell everything. And he went to all of his friends, and all his friends told him, "No, that's the stupidest thing in the world. Look at all the money you're making. You're rich, and you're getting richer by the day. You don't do that." And finally he said, "You know what? I need to do what God told me to do." So he sold everything. And a couple months later, we stopped doing business with Cuba. See, all them sugarcane plants and stuff down there was in Cuba. And Castro threw over the government and took over, and all of a sudden, if he'd have stayed down there, he'd have lost everything. But see, this man was a Christian man. And he got up every morning and prayed. And in one of those prayer meetings with God, God told him to sell all that stuff. And he did what God wanted him to do. Simple thing. If he hadn't been meeting God every morning and praying, probably God never would have said, sell that stuff to him. He probably would have, but he would never hurt him. God told me to quit my job one time. And if I hadn't had that relationship with him, if I hadn't been getting up every morning and praying and just wanting a fellowship with God, I wasn't asking God a lot back then. I was just asking what things that he liked. You see, I had a personal relationship with him. And I was growing that personal relationship. You know what happened when I got to the village? I didn't have a lot of time to get up every morning and do all that after a while. When you're only getting 2 or 3, 4 hours of sleep a night, it wears on you. You know what? I wish that I'd have stayed getting up at 4:30 every morning and praying to God. Because, see, that's how I was getting fed. If I'd have done that, a lot of things would have been a lot different. In our personal lives, we need that relationship with Christ so he can tell us things. If not just to say, "Hey, I love you." And I want to tell you something. When God tells you, "I love you," it means something.
Amen.
And when he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," like you said, can I tell you something? When he tells you that, when you think that he's gone, that he's left you, that the world's turning upside down, he said, "Tracy, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know what you're going through. I'm right here with you." You see, we don't understand that because we're too worried about what's happening here. Peter walked on the water one time. None of the rest of the disciples did that. Only Peter did that. And when he got out of the waves and started walking and started looking around, he got scared and he started falling. He sunk back in the water and he said, "Save me." And Jesus picked him up and he said, "Why do you have little faith?" God wants us to have so much faith in him and so much trust in him and so much love towards him that we get up and say, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" It's so simple, but we make it so hard. You see, there's so many things going on. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I haven't watched Fox News yet. Are we really watching and praying? Because, see, there's a guy out there that wants us to fall. He wants us to fail. And he doesn't sleep. And if we try to walk through a door that God has closed for us, it's not going to turn out right. I like it when Peter says, "Hey, be vigilant. Be sober. There's a guy out there that wants to do you some harm." Because, see, Jesus told that same thing to Peter. And Peter didn't listen. But now after he started listening and understood, he's running around telling everybody, "Don't do what I did. Watch and pray. Be sober. Be vigilant. Hey, the Lord's at hand. I have been doing this ever since I got back from Capital Connection. Man, that did wonders for me. It did wonders for my heart. And I've been praying every morning. I ain't got nothing but this little clip that they run. And every morning I'll get up and I'll hit that clip. And man, it makes me pray for America. It makes me pray for revival for God's people. And it also makes me to pray for a great awakening in this country. Because one preacher down there said something, if you can't pray now, boy, if you can't pray for 30 minutes now, you're going to be praying all day pretty soon. Because, see, there's a lot of people on the left that want to take our guns away. The Antichrist takes our guns away. So if we can't pray for God's provision now, we can't pray for God's power now on this country, if we can't pray to save us, help us now before it's too late, then it's going to be too late. And we need to get up every morning and say, Lord, what do I need to do today? Where do you want me to go? I need you. I can't walk without you. I want you to hold my hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for a personal relationship with you. I thank you for Palm Sunday. I thank you that you came into Jerusalem. Lord, I thank you more than anything in the world for Easter. Lord, for Resurrection Sunday. I thank you that you went to the cross, that you were obedient, that you didn't do what any of us would have done and ran. And Lord, John the Revelator was crying because there was nobody in heaven or earth, no man in heaven nor in earth that could open the books. But the angel says, don't worry. The Lamb of God could open those books. I thank you, Lord, that you was obedient, didn't, and died on the cross for our sin, that you humbled yourself. Lord, there shouldn't be any pride left in us after we get saved. There should only be adoration for what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you that you did die on the cross for our sins, and I thank you that we can be saved. Lord, I thank you that when we're obedient, when we do the things that you want us to do, we'll be blessed. It doesn't mean everything's going to be right. It means we're going to be blessed. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us. That you give us a great night. You go before us and keep everybody safe going home. Give us a great week. Let us look forward to Resurrection Sunday and what it means to us, Lord. Give us a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're planning on getting up this week, but if you ask the Lord to get you up an hour early, we could sing 301 and mean it. Praise the Lord. 301 in our songbook. Let's stand and sing. Meet with the Lord in the morning. This is a precious week. Again, you saw there in the text tonight that people came early in the morning. Every day, again, that Jesus was on his trial as the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, people came early in the morning and he taught them all through the daylight hours. Let's do a little of that this week. Sweet hour of prayer, 301. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That